Hi, my name is Ben Armstrong.
Hi, this is David Koch.
My name is Thomas Maurer.
Hi, I'm Donna Sarkar.
Hi, my name is Lana Montgomery.
Hi, I'm Seth Warres.
Hi, I'm Aaron Thomas.
I'm Jess Dodson.
Hi, I'm Rocky Heckman.
Hi, I'm Sonia Cuff.
Hi, I'm Troy Hunt.
Hello, this is Wally Mead.
My name is Reid Purvis.
Hi, I'm Lars Flynn.
Hi, my name is Alan Birchall.
Hi, I'm Scott Guthrie, and you're listening to the Need to Know podcast.
Two of Australia's leading MVPs, presenters, bloggers, and all-round Microsoft tech nerds. Robert Crane. He's an Office 365 MVP and the director of CIA Ops. Mark Keane. He's a Microsoft Azure MVP and an Azure / PowerShell Premier Field Engineer working at Microsoft. All the latest Microsoft Cloud news, as well as industry guest deep dive conversations. It's the Need to Know podcast, all thanks to Rode Microphones. Catch us on Twitter and Facebook, N2K Podcast, and online at podcasts.needtoknow.cloud.
Welcome along to another Need to Know podcast. This is episode 162, and by the lack of noise that we hear in the background, you may notice that we have a special episode. Yes, this is an episode, finally, without a Mark Keane. We've managed to put a gag on Mark Keane, haven't we, Mark? Well, no. Actually, Mark is a busy boy at the moment. He is out teaching the world PowerShell. He's basically involved in a number of other little projects that are keeping him away from his audience. I'm still here. I'm so involved to make sure that you get the latest news from the Need to Know podcast. And it's nice to have full control of the microphone without some of the comments and questions that we've had of late. So I can now really focus on giving you the best information. Now, don't worry about Mark. I'm sure he'll be back very shortly with more information about his horticulture, about what he's doing in PowerShell, about all the areas that he is more knowledgeable than most people. So again, don't fret, I'm sure he'll be back shortly, but it gives us a chance to be a little bit more intimate and focus on some technical details. Now, the first one of these I've got for you is that Microsoft has announced a new Chrome extension. Now, why would they do that? Well, the reason they've done that is so that it will allow you to connect to Windows 10 and Azure AD via a single sign-on. So if you go to the store and you search for this single sign-on extension, Azure AD, Windows 10 will probably pop up. We'll put the link in the show notes so that you can download that directly. But basically, it's going to smooth that access into a lot of the Microsoft Cloud products, which are based on Azure AD. So we get a lot of single sign-on capabilities through Edge and also through Internet Explorer, but Chrome, which a lot of people obviously use, not so much. But with this extension, it's probably going to smooth that transition. So if you are Office 365 or an Azure user and you want to smooth this process to using these products for users as well as yourself, take a look at this new Chrome extension Microsoft has released. Now, Microsoft has also gone and renamed the Office 365 K plans. Those are the kiosk plans that were web-only based. It's now calling those F1 plans. So if you see a kiosk plan, then it's going to be changed to an F1 plan. If you do see F1, don't get confused. Basically, it's just the kiosk plans, which are web-only. One of the other things Microsoft has done is also let us have some more enhancements around the messaging in Yammer. So firstly, what it's done is it's given us now the ability to put moving GIFs, emotives, all those sort of fun things that the young people seem to like in their social media. So you can put those in there. Not so sure they're a great productivity benefit, but they are now because we need to have parity with other systems that are out there. One of the other things Yammer has given us now is the ability to see when someone's typing a message. So if we're working in a large community, we can see when people are actually typing in our message. Now, again, probably not that important, but the reality is it is the default with other social networks, especially consumer ones, that you can see when somebody's typing a response. So you end up having a bit of a conversation or a chat rather than perhaps posting a message. But again, I think there are the benefits if used correctly. And again, we need to be on parity with a lot of the other consumer ones out there. So again, we'll see that rolling into our Yammer environment. The other thing that they've added is basically, I suppose, some awards or some badges when you do complete some initial tasks. So when you post your first message, you'll now start seeing an automatic award. Now, again, a lot of people poo-poo this, but I would suggest it's very important for adoption. One of my preferred tools and recommended tools for driving Office 365 adoption is Yammer. Now, the more that we can encourage users and reward them for being involved and using the product, I think the better off it is. So, again, badges, rewards, I think is certainly a worthwhile thing. Have a look at it, and we'll put the link in the show notes so that you can review that. But look to seeing new message options here in Yammer. Microsoft has also now started to give us something called Flow Collections. So what Flow is, it's a way to automate processes by linking services in Office 365 and external services like Twitter, Facebook, and whatnot together in a sequence. So typically what you could do, for example, is you could say when an email comes in, take the attachment and put it into a SharePoint library or put it into my OneNote automatically. Now, obviously there's lots and lots of flows that go into a gallery, and what Microsoft is doing is basically putting those together into something called collections. They've started off by making four of these: marketing, human resources, software development, and education. So it's grouping these templates together. You can go in, have a look at a collection, find one you need, and start using that as a basis. Now, expect to see more of these over time, and keep your eye out there for more collections that allow you to categorize flows. Now, because Azure Boy is currently unavailable, we need to cover off a bit of Azure, or I'm certain he will never hear the end of it. So to keep him happy in absentia is we need to basically talk about the fact that Microsoft is put out a document that will help us understand the way to deal with backup and disaster recovery for our IaaS disks. Now, remember that backup and DR are two different things, and we have a number of different products that can handle this in Azure. So we have Azure Backup, we have things like Site Recovery, and implemented correctly, they're going to really, really make sure that your data is secure and easy to recover. The important thing with any sort of backup or DR is that you know how to implement them, you know how they work, and also how to do restores. So this article is a great place to start if you're wondering what works, how it works, when it should be used, and links to some of the services that will allow you to protect your IaaS disk that's in Azure. So again, that will go into our show notes, the link there, so you can refer to that. Now, we also have an article here, how to avoid accidental removal of Azure resources. Now, as with any technology, you can accidentally, or on purpose perhaps, someone can hit the delete key and whoopsie, there goes your resources. Now, for a lot of things in Azure, it's not really a simple case of doing an undo or going to the recycle bin, as you can in Office 365, unfortunately. So therefore, it's a good idea to prevent these sort of things happening. And the way you do that is with resource locks. So you go in and put the resource locks on your resources, and that will prevent you deleting something accidentally. So this is really handy when you've got people working on the web version and maybe also doing it via scripting. So it's very easy to maybe overlook the fact that we shouldn't be deleting something and run a script and it does. So again, good option here. Have a look at that article to show you how to use resource locks to make sure that you don't accidentally delete something in Azure that you really want. We've also got a video here on the approach Microsoft's taking to its data centers. We talked in the last episode about how Microsoft is putting in new data centers in Australia, in Canberra, focused on the Australian government. This comes on top of new ones going into South Africa. We've got data centers in India, South Korea, all over the place. So Microsoft's building of data centers continues on. And again, this will give you a bit of an idea, an overview of how the data center is sort of being transformed, the approaches that's being taken. So interesting video to take a look at. Now, if there's one thing that Azure Boy basically loves more than Azure, it's got to be PowerShell. Now, PowerShell is a bit daunting. I think that we almost got line-by-line code quoting last episode, which is a bit hard to handle without actually seeing the code in front of us. But thank goodness Microsoft have responded to that with a new Getting Started with Microsoft Azure PowerShell. So this little blog post here will take you through step-by-step as to how to actually set up the environment so you can actually type some of these PowerShell commands in that Mark refers to all the time. So this will show you how to download the commandlets, what to run, how to set up your environment so you're good to go and connect to Azure, and then start running some of these commands. So we'll be able to talk the same language and hopefully be understanding what he's talking about, because I'm sure he's going to come back and want to let everybody know all about the intricacies that he's learnt with Azure. Now, as always, I'm going to keep this short because we do have an interview with Ashish Trivedi, who's going to talk to us about Office 365 development. And again, it's very interesting to look at Office 365 now as a standard platform that many developers are looking at, saying, you know what, there's a lot of people now using this product. We could develop some solutions on top of that and then push those out to a very large crowd. So he's going to speak to us very shortly about that. But obviously, if you want to get in contact with us and let us know how good this episode is without a Mark Keane, I mean, how good the episode is generally, what you'd like to hear, what topics you'd like us to cover, again, best place to do it is on the Twitter. You can reach Mr. Keane at Mark Keane, so MarkKean. You can reach me at Director CIA. And again, if you want to use the old world email, you can do so at feedback@needtoknow.cloud. Now, with that, let me get out of the way and let's go over to our interview with Ashish. I'm joined in this episode by Ashish Trivedi. Welcome, Ashish.
Thanks, Robert.
So to kick off things, before we get into it a little bit deeper, let's get some information about Ashish. So Ashish, let us know who you are, what you do, and how you've come about to work with Office 365.
Sure. Thanks for the opportunity. So I am an Office 365 development MVP with Microsoft, and I am here in Australia working with a consulting company. And what I primarily look out is the Office 365 extensibility in the projects, as how we can take the customization capabilities of Office 365 and build productivity solutions for customers.
Excellent. All right. So as we know, Office 365 has been growing in popularity. There's been a lot more people coming on board, and they've been using the standard services like Exchange and SharePoint and Skype for Business. But obviously now there's a big groundswell of developers who are looking at this platform and seeing a great opportunity to bring customized software to those users on what is becoming a standard platform. So how has the platform changed over time, and how has it matured to allow more developers to use this as an opportunity to develop code for?
Okay. So if I talk about specifically SharePoint, which was one of the core pillar when Office 365 was kicked off from Microsoft side, a lot of developers were server-side programmers, and they have to learn the client-side programming, which was one of the key change when SharePoint moved to the cloud. Then slowly, when after the Office 365 gaining the tracks in the cloud era, Microsoft has been releasing a lot of services and doing a lot of unified code mergers for their projects. That gave the opportunity to build commercial plus consumer code bases in one time and distribute using the Office Store. Slowly, in the recent time, what Microsoft has done is going out of their comfort zone of .NET and related technologies, providing an area for the open source developers, like developers with Angular skills or Node.js skills, coming and building applications for Office 365. The primary focus for Microsoft on what they are looking on Office 365 extensibility is providing information, the data from Office 365 and the services to interact with that data, and allowing developers to consume those data and services in their choice of applications with their choice of platform, and extending their application with the help of Office 365. And that's where the Office 365 extensibility comes into the picture. So considering an example, very simple example, we do meetings on a daily basis. Now, my meeting information resides in my Exchange calendar. Now, if I would like to take that information and build an application which will extend my meetings by providing me a way to record how many attendees were there, what were the action points we discussed, what is the result for that, and what is the next action item for everybody. And if I can capture that information in the app, which can help me to circulate that as email to all the meeting attendees, that will be much quicker for me to go and hold those meetings. And I can chase in the next meeting as what was discussed in the previous meeting. So this is the data and services example where you can consume the data and provide your services via custom applications to Office 365 customers.
Okay, so in your experience, what is the most common application that developers are targeting these days? Is it the email, the SharePoint, or are they branching out, like I said, into these new things like Teams, which obviously support these automation options around bots? What's the most common thing that developers are targeting?
So here are the two things. One is most common thing, and the next piece is most trending things at the moment. So Office 365 has been primarily looked at the SharePoint sites, customization and developments, and a lot of developers were focusing on that. So the most in platform which has been targeted so far in SharePoint is SharePoint in Office 365. But in the recent trend over the last 1 year, with the new application releases like Planner, Power BI, Teams, a lot of new applications are coming into the market, and a lot of developers are looking to use that application platform. As Office 365 is a productivity platform, so you can use Teams extensions, things like bots and custom compose extensions, which allow you to automate your job from Teams interface and automate your information exchange between systems using bots, are the most recent trending things. So looking at the entire picture of a customer landscape, you could have multiple applications in your solutions which will integrate well together because they are in the same platform. So a bot can talk to a SharePoint webhooks behind the scene and tell you that there is a new file change happening in the SharePoint site, and you will not receive a mail for that. So based on the new trend changes, you can build new applications.
Okay. All right. So are these developers, are they coming from traditional Microsoft backgrounds with .NET, or are we seeing people come from other areas that were typically doing open source or from other platforms? Are they traditionally Microsoft developers, or are they, we're getting a new groundswell of developers looking at the platform to develop code for?
That's one of the interesting area which we are looking and trying to find out is how many developers from open source technologies are coming and contributing. As it is a productivity platform, so if you have any idea which can improve your productivity, you can build the applications, because now Office 365 allow you to bring your skills of Angular or Node.js and write applications. So if I look at that side, in the Office stores, there are companies who have submitted apps who are not a .NET major, but they have written applications on the JavaScript platforms or the PHP platforms, and they have submitted applications. And the same side as most of the Microsoft stack was .NET, so I see a lot of vendors who have created .NET-based applications in the past, but they are exploring now Node.js and different technologies to bring new type of applications in the Office store as well.
Okay, so are these developers, when they develop an application, are they putting it in a store? Are they selling it standalone? Are they developing it for a business? How are these developers actually monetizing the amount of effort they're putting in? I mean, is it a standalone product you can take between different Office 365 tenants, or are they doing custom implementations per Office 365 tenant for customers?
Okay, So there is an Office store where you can submit your applications, and once Microsoft Teams verifies your application credentials to be available in the store, they will approve it and anybody can use your application. So now it's your choice whether you would like to put pricing for it or you would like to provide free in the store. But coming to the different type of applications, which are called as ISV applications or cloud applications, they don't go generally via store sometime, and you will be building those applications as a single tenant or multi-tenant, and you will be providing customers access to those applications. So it will fall back to you as to define the application architecture, the data storage, and the customer confidentiality in your application and provide access. Those applications doesn't go via store because Microsoft cannot verify those credentials, and that's where you sell those applications via Office 365 App Store separately.
Okay, so the stuff on the store, does that actually run on Office 365 or does it leverage Azure? Where does it actually execute? You know, where does it actually load on the individual tenant? You know, how does that work?
So I will give you a simple example, the meeting application which we were talking initially. So in that example, my application can live within my tenant. So I can give you application instance provisioned in your tenant, and you can run within your tenant, and you just pay per user basis with my license model or the annual fee. The other scenario can be I am just hosting the applications, and you never know whether that application is running in JavaScript or .NET behind the scene, or and whether it's on Azure or AWS or any other web platform, and you will subscribe to my application directly from your tenant, and I will register those credentials. So it really come back to a point as how the consumer wants that application to be used and how the subscriber is giving that application to use. So you can see different types of applications are available in the market. Some are running like a private cloud mode, some are running in a public cloud mode like a SaaS service.
Okay, all right. So what sort of success are developers having with the Office 365 platform? I mean, are they at an early stage, or are they developers who are well experienced that are selling, you know, really well, really popular applications? What stage are we at when it comes to development in the Office 365 platform? What's the maturity like when it comes to the applications that we're seeing through the different methods you've talked about?
Personally, I have seen applications which are very basic. So things like reading the login username and reading the website title. But there are a few applications which are advanced in the functionality, like doing CRM maintenance or doing the asset management and tracking all that information. So if I talk about the complexity of the application from 0 to 100, I have seen applications which are level 1 to 90 as well, and 95 as well. So there is a wide variety of the applications available. And now Office Store serves application for your office as well. So office settings are also served by Office. And you will see a lot of applications for your Outlook and Word, PowerPoint, Excel as well. It's not just SharePoint anymore now. So you will see a lot of variety and various complexity of the applications. There are a few applications which uses even machine learning language capabilities as well.
Okay. Basically, how difficult is it for a traditional developer, maybe they're writing .NET or C or C# or something, how difficult is it for them to transition into a world of developing for the Office 365 platform?
It's a really interesting area and game-changing area. As Microsoft is going out and looking at the open source technologies and coming up back and providing the platform and the technology where any open source developer can write. So if you have an idea which is worthwhile trying out in a productivity environment, you can come up with your skill sets and write application and submit in the store. And Microsoft will verify those credentials, and your application is straight away into the Office store. If I see an end-to-end timeline, you may publish an application within within few hours to maybe few weeks based on the complexity which you are building in your application.
Okay, all right. So the store is the place to go for most of these applications. Is that right? I just go to the store in SharePoint or the store in Office. Is that where we're seeing most of these new applications surfacing?
Yeah, so all the stores for all the Office 365 applications for SharePoint, for your Word, PowerPoint, Excel, the Office settings is same now. So with a recent merger, all your application goals and lists there, you can filter based on which technology you are looking at, and you can select the items accordingly.
Okay. Now, is developing for the Office 365 platform similar in a way to doing it in Azure? So if we, for example, start off doing the Office 365, is it, again, an easy transition into the world of Azure if you wanted? I mean, I know Azure's got a lot of options and a lot of technologies there, but, you know, is there some similarities given that Office 365 is built on Azure AD and uses a lot of Azure services? I mean, is this another way for developers to even look at getting a broader scope in the Microsoft cloud?
Agree with that, and yes, that has been happening with me as well in the couple of the times in the past and happening now as well. So when you start looking at the Office 365, Office 365 is totally based on the Azure AD for security authentication authorization process. So first you will interact with the Azure AD to authenticate any user in your application. And that gives you the opportunity to learn about Azure AD and how the applications can work, standalone applications can work with Azure AD. Then slowly you will extend and see Azure PaaS capabilities like Azure Web Apps and Web Jobs and Web API and Azure Media Services and Azure AI and Cognitive Services are being used in different portions of Microsoft Office 365. So if I talk about Azure Web Apps, Web APIs, they are very closely related to SharePoint extensibility at the moment as how you can differentiate your SharePoint online deployment versus from SharePoint on-premises deployment. And then slowly, if you look at the AI and other capabilities of Azure, they are being used in the Teams, bots, and Compose extensions where you can hook your Azure Azure Functions and Azure Eventrix now, and you can capitalize those Azure extensions in your Office 365 development and interact with multiple components. So you will see a very well overlap between Office 365 extensibility and the Azure PaaS capabilities to support each other in the development area.
Okay, now one of the areas that I think is going to be very big and I think is a growing area is the area around bots, especially now that we have Microsoft Teams and it's very easy to add the standard bots obviously into a channel for chat. A good example is, you know, the travel bot is the space bot. So what we can do is go in there and basically ask the Hipmunk bot whether what the best price is, say, to travel from Sydney to Melbourne, or the space bot, we can ask for a picture from NASA every day. What are you seeing when it comes to developing for bots? Is that a growing interest area? Are more developers looking at bots and their abilities and what they potentially can do to improve the productivity for end users in Office 365?
Yes, definitely. Bot is going to be a next UI for the Office 365 and gaining a lot of traction. Microsoft's team has been gaining a lot of traction since the preview release, and it is one of the most talked product in the market at the moment. And bot is certainly the extensibility area, and considering the bot connections with the AI and machine learning and Bing API integration, Cortana and Swix basically, will give a lot of developers to talk about the bots, how we can use bots in any productivity environment and extend Office 365. And as you mentioned, and as you know, you can do a lot of automation jobs, you can do a lot of processing of the information with third parties using bots. You can build your Cortana skills and integrate your bots. So again, it will depend on the end-to-end scenario as what you're trying to solve. You can certainly look out for playing important role in the next 1 year in that solution area. We have to just find out as how the bots fit into that situation, and is that the best solution for the problem?
Okay, so another quick question I've got when it comes to bots. I've added a few bots myself into the Microsoft Teams interface, nice and easy. I've added some third-party ones as well. How do you see those being for developers to make money out of them? At the moment, you don't seem to add them from the store, or am I wrong? How do you actually go about making money from a bot? Is it going to be deployed from a store like other solutions?
I haven't played much with the team extensively, but as I see, the team is coming up with a separate channel and ISV capabilities where you can submit your applications to Teams channel and they will publish your bot. At the moment, I don't see Office Store has the capability to publish your bot. Personally, I have not seen that. So currently, the team has a specialized area where you can publish your custom applications, compose extensions, and the bots and team can take care of that extensibility for you in publishing internally or externally. While you are working internally, you can always have the internal bot enabled using the channel which they provide as a using the latest preview, but at the moment Office Store doesn't support that. So that will be something interesting to see if there will be a unified platform for all the applications.
Okay, all right, yeah, that sort of makes sense. It's one of the things that I did note was sort of missing, I suppose, from a developer's point of view, is how to actually make money out of doing the bots. I'm sure that'll certainly come. Now, just to change tack, if I'm a developer and I'm looking at this Office 365 and this Azure juggernaut, and I'm looking at how do I get up to speed, or how can I get information, or how can I start developing some solutions for this that I can then start pushing out to the market, where would you recommend people go to start learning about this sort of stuff or getting up to speed? Do they take a Microsoft Virtual Academy course, or is there a Microsoft website? What's the best way for them to start getting their hands dirty with Office 365 development?
Yeah. That's one of the key area where we have just one URL, which I can give you to everybody. That's dev.office.com, and anybody can go to this dev.office.com URL, and you can see any Office extensibility area available over there in the drop downs where you see the explorations and documentations and samples. You have a lot of GitHub samples available in the github.com/office-dev, and these are the URLs which are available in the documentation pages of the dev.office.com. So once you go to dev.office.com, I will recommend, if you don't have an Office 365 developer tenant, which is a first priority or requirement to get started with the development area, you can request one and you get a 1 year free Office 365 E3 developer license with 25 users. So you can play with that. You can go and download Visual Studio Communities 2017 and that is free, and you can integrate that with your Office 365 developer account and work with that. All the information for SharePoint, Teams, bots, extensions, Graph API, everything is linked from dev.office.com. So once you are there, you can see some samples, getting started mode. You can see a lot of event links as well, which are coming shortly, where you will see as how the things happen around you, and you can subscribe to those events and to stay up to date and connect with the local community.
Okay, so is the Visual Studio Express enough to get started, or do you need a commercial version of Visual Studio to start actually writing code?
So for the Office 365 extensibility, you don't need a professional or enterprise. You are good to go with the 2017 Community Edition, which is a free version. Anybody can download, and it has all the tools available to do the development for Office 365.
Okay. Now, just another question as we're getting towards the end of our discussion here is, the Graph API, I mean, how important do you think that is to understand and to start playing with when it comes to Office 365 development? It seems to me that from Microsoft's point of view, they're very keen to make sure people see it, developers use it. It seems to be one of the key points for information inside, into and out of Office 365. I mean, is that a fair observation?
Yes, Microsoft is very keen to get on the Graph API release for all the products in the cloud. So as I'm really a big fan of Microsoft Graph API myself, what I see right now, it is leveraging a lot of products like Exchange, OneDrive, and slowly taking up SharePoint APIs behind the scene. So you don't have to really change your authentication endpoints and work in your code. You can just hit one API and it will give you the information. The second piece, the second which is coming up, you will see slowly the Dynamics API also falling behind the Office 365 Microsoft Graph API. So you can just work with Graph API and you can talk to the Office 365 SharePoint data and you can talk to the Dynamics 365 data at the same time. The next big thing which I see and slipped actually. What I'm hearing is in the fall creator update, you will see the timeline features and continue on PC features, which will come on phone. That's where the Graph API is playing a role like a across devices clipboard. So if you're editing a document on your phone and you switch to your PC using your same authentication mechanism of cloud, Microsoft Graph API will hook the same presentation on your PC and from the same slide. That's something missing, but we saw some of the demos and we heard some of the information from Microsoft. And Graph API is playing a role in the devices as well. So it's not just playing a role in the software services, it's playing the role across devices, and that's one of the big thing.
Okay. Now, as an IT, from the IT pro side, we're seeing, obviously, Office 365 adding lots and lots of services. We're seeing it move at a very quick pace, lots and lots of updates, lots and lots of changes coming very, very quickly. We're going to expect a lot more soon from the upcoming Microsoft Ignite event in the US. So again, a whole raft of changes coming in. What's it like from a developer's point of view? Is it changing as rapidly, more rapidly than it would for an IT pro? What's a developer's world like when they're looking at the cadence that Microsoft's taking with this product?
Definitely. So as you see, Ignite and Microsoft Build event, those are the events where Microsoft announces a lot of things. Build is one of the area where developer-focused events or information is being announced. As we have built approximately 4 months back, and there were a lot of information which was announced new, beta, and in public preview. The same way as the IT pros are facing the challenge in the quick evolving cloud world, developers are also facing the challenge as how to keep up to date with all these changing information. Personally, what I have seen in the last 3-4 years, it's pretty much weekly changing in the developer space as well. So if I know something, not possible today, but maybe in the next week, Microsoft release a new API and say that it's possible. So we have to keep up to date ourselves as a developer also, as what's changing in the API landscape, what all the new extensibility areas are coming and how we can extend, what all the practices are coming, because enterprise developers and system integrator developers has to talk about the continuous delivery and development as how these new toolings support those CI/CD of the enterprise developers. So we have to look out what comes on a daily basis as well in changing world.
Okay, all right. So to round us off here, what do you see happening going forward? What's the future here? Is we going to see lots and lots of developers doing more and more apps for the store? Are we going to see, you know, the bots take over the world? You know, what's your vision of what's going to happen in the next, you know, 6, 12, 18 months? What are we going to see, do you think?
So personally, what I see is going to happen in next 6 to 12 months is Microsoft will enable developers with all the data and services APIs and will provide you the tools in serverless computing or the cloud world where you can build applications which will be connected to devices and systems, and you can work with all that information from single API. And that will evolve the way how we develop applications just for specific products. We will be seeing a lot more focus on the solutions, not just as a product individually.
Excellent. All right. Well, Ashish, thank you very much for your time. I'm sure listeners got a huge amount out of it. I'll get you if you want. Is there anything that we've missed that we haven't covered? And then also, if you can let people know how they can get in contact with you or follow you. So if they've got questions about doing Office 365 development, they can come to you and get those questions answered. So again, is there anything that we haven't covered that you want to let everybody know? And then let the people know how they can get in contact with you.
Sure. So we have covered a variety of the questions as what's changed, what's happening, and what's going to happen. What I can say as a summary, keep a check on the dev.office.com site and look out what's changed happening in the developer space of Office 365. It has all the resources available to you. And to reach me out, you can always use my Twitter handle, which is _AshishTrivedi. Or you can reach me out in Melbourne if you are in the Office 365 meetup group. You will find me always there. Or maybe check out your local event happening in Australia. I may be presenting near there as well.
Excellent. All right. Well, we'll make sure that all those links that Ashish mentioned are put in the show notes. I again thank Ashish for his time, and hopefully all the information is getting to the people and encouraging them to go out there and developing for what I think is a fantastic platform, not only from a IT pro, from a user's point, but also from a developer's point. It also gives us a standard platform on which we can really start leveraging these fantastic tools like SharePoint Online, Exchange Online, and now Teams as well. And I think one of the big takeaways is Microsoft's embrace of now the open source platform, as Ashish mentioned. There are so many ways that developers can come into this platform based on their experience. And again, as I mentioned, potentially leverage something like Azure as well to grow even further. So I think there's a huge amount of opportunity there for the developers, the IT pros, and obviously the customers when it comes to improving their productivity. But once again, thanks Ashish for your time, and we'll make sure that all that information is in the show notes for the episode.
Thanks, Robert. Thanks for the opportunity.
Thanks everybody for listening to this episode of the Need to Know podcast.
You have been listening to the Need to Know podcast from CIA Ops. For training on using technologies like SharePoint Online or Office 365, visit www.ciaopsacademy.com. By purchasing from the selection available, you'll be directly supporting this podcast. To provide feedback on this episode, visit www.ciaops.com/contact. This podcast is voiced and produced by me, Mark Keane.